Oh, there he is. I can't hear. I can't see. I can't remember. Come on now.
Because he keeps confessing that. See, you can hear. You can see. You can remember. Oh, glory to God. Brother Bill's supposed to preach this morning, but he said just close it out. And I really want him to preach this morning. It ain't but 11:11. I want you to preach this morning, Brother Bill. But while he's coming, listen to me. We got some announcements. August the 7th, 8th, and 9th in the Life Center, they got a legacy conference going to be going on. The night services start at 11, and then the Saturday is, 7 o'clock, rather. And then Saturday, the service is 11 and at 2. They're going to provide lunch, have some special singing. It's going to be good. It's going to be down there. See Sister Cheryl if you have any questions or want to be a part of it. July the 30th, that's coming up, two Wednesday nights from now. We've got the back-to-school party, ages 4 through 11. That's all the kids' ages. Going to be down there in the Life Center. They're going to have food. They're going to have bounce houses, all the fun stuff there. But the youth, what does that mean? That's the ages 12 through the seniors in high school. August the 2nd is going to be a night service special. God's going to do something big down there in the youth chapel, in the Life Center. So if you've got some kids that maybe don't come to church on Wednesday night, but you want them to be a part of it, bring them. It's open to anybody that wants to come. They're going to have food and fellowship, but they're going to have a time for the Holy Spirit of God. We believe in for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And then need some nursery workers, some volunteers for that. Hallelujah. But probably the most important announcement that I have tonight or today, this Tuesday, turn to your neighbor and say Tuesday at 6:30, we're going to have prayer meeting at the end of the hall in the high room, high ceiling room down there where we do the young adult Bible study. 6:30, we're going to come together in one mind, in one accord. We're going to touch heaven, and heaven's going to touch us. And so I want us to get prepared right now for tonight's service at 6. We're going to have a Holy Ghost revival service. Tomorrow night, go home and rest. Pray at your house. Tuesday night, bring your vessels. Not a few, because the oil is going to be poured out in that prayer meeting. And I'm believing God is going to do great and mighty things. Tuesday night, 6:30. Praise the Lord. Brother Bill, bless you.
Thank you. Well, the Bible says not enter in the hearts of men what God has in store for them. Everything God ever created, he gave it an order to multiply. Everything on this earth has an order from God to multiply. You and I have an order from God to multiply. We'd like to share with us for a few minutes, I think the Lord has done approve this, the power of unity prayer. There's power, what happened here this morning, in unity prayer. We find in Matthew 18:19-20, we'll read that, they put that up there. Again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that you shall ask. I tell you, that's an awesome statement. If two of us can agree, anything we ask, God will give it. Then he goes on to say, it shall be done unto them of my Father which is in heaven. It's amazing what George Mueller accomplished. Never let anyone know his need, building one of the greatest orphanages in the world. He only talked to God, and God supplied everything he asked for. Everything he ever asked for, God gave it to him. We'll read verse 20 now. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, here I am in the midst. When two or three get together in his name, he's in the midst of it. He's a present help in the time of need. You never have to ask God to come. He's already there. ready to help us at anything in our lives. 1 John 3:7 says, there are three that bear record or witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. All three of these is one. 2 Corinthians 13:1 says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall ever be established the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. In the mouth of three witnesses, what's going to happen? It's going to be established. Be established. Genesis 1:2-3. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving. In other words, hovering, like a hen hovers over a chicken. It's ready to give birth in this darkness on the face of the earth. You may be empty, but I tell you, there's a spirit here today, not only today in your home, wherever you go, it's hovering over you. He's ready to give birth. He's ready to do something. Always ready. Was hovering there upon the face of the earth. But nothing was happening. Y'all get that? Even though the Spirit was hovering, he's ready to do something. And even though God is there, nothing is happening. Notice verse 3. And God said, let what? Let there be what? The presence of the Lord is always with us, and he's hovering always on, but he must have a voice. He must have somebody who will speak. Somebody must sow a seed. That's what's happening here. When nobody's speaking, no seed was being sowed. There is no harvest without a seed. You must sow a seed to have a harvest. If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, it will not do you no good until there's a seed sown. David saw the Goliath with his eyes. Most people see the Goliaths in life. But what we must see, what David saw, the promise. He saw the promise. A little old boy tending a few sheep. Even his fathers and his brothers didn't think too much of him because they didn't call him to see if he could be anointed as king. But when he saw this giant, you and I are born to do more than just what we do. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's not by intelligence. Some people said the reason Paul wrote so many books because he was educated at the foot of Gamaliel. That's not true. He done it under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost as he was led by God. So David faced this giant. Everybody has a giant to face sometime or another in your life. The first thing he did, all of Israel was in bondage and fearful and afraid. Not one had faith. Not one. But here comes a little old boy. I don't know how old he was. Your age doesn't matter. Your education doesn't matter. What matters, do you know him? Do you know him? And David looked at that giant. He said, I tell you, I'm coming after you. I'd like to hear somebody say to tell you a problem today, I'm coming after you. I'm not coming in my name, I'm coming in his name. I'm coming in the one that's got all power in heaven and earth. When I come, it won't be me, it'll be he that sent me. He took one small stone out of the bag. One little old boy threw one small stone and saved a nation. How many know that everybody in this building today has the ability to save a nation? Not because of your own ability. People complain about your own ability. You don't need no ability. You don't need anything. All you need to have faith in God. If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed in God, you can ask anything, he'll do it. If you believe it. David said, I'm coming after you now. I'm on my way. The giant says, well, I'm going to feed your flesh to the fowls. He said, I'm coming after you. When you begin to talk to your enemy, he's going to talk back. He's going to tell you what he's going to do. But you know, tell him what you're coming in the name of the Lord. You don't go in your own name. You don't go in your own ability. And you don't go on your own education because you can't defeat him. But I'm telling you, that name of Jesus will defeat him. Around and around went that little old slang. His mother had taught him how to use a slang shot. He could knock a loaf of bread off a post. He was accurate with it. But I want you to know he didn't depend on that. He didn't say, I'm coming in my name. I'm not coming with a slang shot. I'm coming in the name of the Lord. I'm going to take you down. How many can stand up right now and start telling your enemy that you're facing, I am going to take you down now. I'm going to take you down today. You say, well, that's bragging. No, you're having confidence in the God that has put the line in your hand, and God has put a bear in your hand, and you tore it all to pieces. He said, that's not going to be nothing for my God. One little man. When I was chosen by the state where I worked to be trained for the hazard waste director of the state, sent me to A&M school. They had this huge tent. They had some kind of smell in there. Had fitted you with a uniform and a mask and all of that thing. Said, now don't be ashamed if you flunk and get to go home, because not few can do it. But when you go in there, if you don't have that mask on tight, you're a dead person. If you smell it, you're a dead person. I want you to know there's a God that can take care of anything that you have in your life. Then they sent me and this other guy down to the assimilation, that 18-wheeler turned over with 55-gallon drums was bursted. Said, y'all going to go down there and find out what we got to do, and one of you going to pass out. And on the way down there, this guy, he was huge. He looked at me and said, you're going to pass out. You're going to fall out. And I'm going to call them and tell them you've been overcome, because I don't believe there's enough of them up there to get me up and get me out. But I want you to know your God is big enough to take care of anything that happens in your life if you'll have the faith in God. I believe the Lord has demonstrated a breakthrough here today, what we've been feeling. David saw the giant, but he saw something else. He saw the promise. He saw what God could do. Sister Seagroves stood right over there Sunday morning. Some of you prayed for her. She's going to have some more tests run. She said, I'm not asking prayer for the test. I'm asking for a peace of mind. That's what I want, is a peace of mind. We talked to her Monday, and she said, well, the test didn't go like I wanted it to go, but I have a peace of mind. I woke up Monday with a peace of mind. I want you to know God can give you a peace of mind just like that. I believe that's one of the things the world needs today, is a peace of mind in the midst of your tragedy, in the midst of everything that's happening. Don't look at what's happening. Look at what your God can do. Esther's anointed. She was niece of Mordecai. Mordecai's uncle was her daughter. She was young and beautiful. She soaked in myrrh and oil for 1 year. The word myrrh means bitterness. Bitterness. But when it's broken, great joy comes out. Sometimes God has to break us, allow us to be broken. She was young. She's a type of the Gentile church. The king is a type of Jesus Christ. Mordecai is a type of the Holy Ghost. The scripture said he went every day. Mordecai did, went every day checking on Esther, see how she was doing, how she was getting along. And she had told Mordecai that you to pray and all my maidens going to pray, and we're going to entreat God. But I want you to know in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. How many know the Holy Ghost is with you every day? Every day where you go, he's with you. He's checking on you. He's your comforter. He's your leader. He's your guide. He's your supporter. When there's unity, something miraculous happens when we have unity one for another. So Esther became the queen. You find all this most of it in Esther 4. Esther 2 and 11 is where it says he walked every day to check on her and see how she was doing. 1 Samuel 3 and 1. Samuel the child ministered unto the Lord. There's one thing to minister for God, but it's another thing to minister unto God. How many ready for a blessing that you ain't never been able to receive before? Stop ministering for God. Start ministering to God. Minister to God. How many of you get up in the morning, how many of you tell him how much you love him? How much you appreciate him? How many tell him all the good things that he's done for you and expecting all good things to do for you? There's a difference. Most people are trying to minister for the Lord, but he said, I want you to minister to me. There's a difference when you minister to the Lord. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, and Martha said, why don't you make her get up and help me serve? People are wanting to serve the Lord, but I tell you, there's something greater. God wants to serve you. Jesus said, Mary has chosen the better thing. She's sitting at my feet and learning of me. When you learn to sit down and listen to God, what he's got to say, he's got good words to say. Every word out of his mouth for his children, a wonderful, marvelous. And he said, Mary has chosen the better things. Now, the church ought to serve, but you can get so involved in serving, you forget to serve him. Martha was so involved serving people, she forgot to serve him. If we want a greater blessing, learn to serve him. When you're serving others, make sure you're serving for him and being a blessing to him. Samuel, being a child, had never heard the voice of God. He laid by the ark. We all need to have a time, a place, sometime, I believe, on a daily basis to steal away somewhere and take time in the presence of the Lord. Esther soaked in oil for a year. That means the anointing. The church must learn to get away sometime and just have time with God. Just you and the Lord. And tell him how much you love him. Don't be just spilling out your troubles and your trials to him. He knows all of that. I'm not preaching against that. I'm preaching minister to him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you when you minister to him. Make him number one in your life. And he'll make you number one in his life. The Bible said in Chronicles, as long as they sought God, everything they touched prospered. They ministered unto the Lord. Then we find in Acts 13, these men were gathered together. And the scripture said, as they ministered unto the Lord, he shows up. How many ready for the Lord to show up? Amen. I mean really show up with his presence and his glory and his grace in your life like you've never had before. People say, well, you can't know the Lord that well. You can know him. As they ministered unto him, he showed up and began to talk. How many ready for God to talk to you? He'll talk to you. Peggy worked at the bank. I don't know, got how many, 20-something years. Sometimes she'd come home for lunch stressed out. She's just at the breaking point. Anybody ever been there? She got this little old loaf of bread thing at the house. She'd reach over and pull one of them out and say, Lord, you know what I need now. And that scripture she pulled out of that piece of bread is exactly what she needed. God will give you exactly what you need at your breaking point. It's not his will for you to break. It's his will for you to joy. As they ministered unto the Lord, the Holy Ghost showed up and began to speak. God wants to speak to you. You have to learn to hear the voice of God. Samuel had never heard the voice of God. He didn't know how to recognize it. He didn't say, "This is God speaking to you." Sometimes it's just a small, still voice. And sometimes it's just an urgent in your spirit, urging you quietly because he wants you to hear. When Elijah heard really the voice of God, he covered his face because it was new God talking to him. How many believe that God wants to talk to you? He wants to have a conversation with you. He wants to let you know how much he loves you. He wants you to let him know how much you love him. So we have some wonderful things here about ministering unto the Lord. As they ministered unto the Lord, Joseph told his brothers, "Y'all meant it for evil, but God turned the evil into good." Your worst case in your life, God can turn it into good. He makes such beautiful things out of nothing. And Joseph was exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh. And then he was given a Gentile bride. He's a type of Jesus Christ. When Jesus got out of the grave, he went down and sat at the right hand of the Father. And the Father gave him the Gentile bride, which is you and I. The bride of Christ is not only the Israelites, it's the whole world. How many are glad he grafted you in? You's a wild olive branch. I've had people say, "Oh, I wished I'd have been there on the day of Pentecost. I wished I could have been there. It wouldn't have done you no good. They wouldn't let you in because you was a Gentile." But God opened that door to the whole world. He's no respecter of person. You ought to shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, the church needs to learn to start shouting more for God and the good things of God. Brother Plum said one time, "I'm so glad God let me in on this. So glad God let me on this." Sister Plum would shout in the Spirit of God and do the Charleston. I'm telling you, I don't know where she learned that at, but she was. This lady in the church set that son down and said, "Sit down," and I mean stay set down. "I'm tired of setting you down. Don't you get up no more." Nicky pulled on her sleeve and said, "I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside." Oh, I'm saying God wants you to sit and listen to what he's got to say. He's got something good to say, something precious to say. I don't know if you ever heard of Lee Trevino, one of the world famous golfers, in the hospital with pneumonia. Told the doctor, "I'm getting up and go play golf." Said, at the U.S. opening, the doctor said, "You're probably going to die too." He said, "Might win." He got up and went, came in second. Don't go by your feelings. Too many going by the feelings. The church is to live by faith. We're not to walk by feelings and what we feel and what we see. We're to walk by faith. He got up and went by faith. And look what he did. Throughout the scripture, we find so many wonderful things that God did. We find in Exodus when God told Moses that, "I'm going to destroy the whole Jewish nation. I'm tired of hearing this complaining. I'm tired. Fell down prostrate on the ground. He was 80 plus years old. He saved the nation because he ministered under God. This is what it says right in Exodus 34. Moses immediately threw himself on the ground and worshiped God. Just threw himself down and began to worship God. God saved the nation by one 80-year-old man plus. God can do miraculous things through your life. When there's unity and there's harmony. We're going to close on this. Napoleon Hill was a famous motivator of his time. During the war, they tried to figure out from this manufacturing company that was making war weapons. Over 3,000 men, women, and the production was way low. It fell very low, and they couldn't figure out how to inspire them to raise up production. They come up with this, we'll get them singing. Can you imagine getting 3,000 men and women singing the same thing? As they sang, less than 30 days, production had increased 45%. If that can happen in the world, how much more can it happen in the church? When we all began to sing, well, they don't sing my kind of song. You're singing his song anyhow. You're not singing for their song. You want to sing unto him. You want to minister unto him. As you minister unto him and recognize him, something good happens in your life. This one man, one little boy called Samuel, a child. There's disagreement how old he was, but he ministered unto the Lord. This one child saved Israel, brought them back to God. Just one little boy, because he worshiped God. He ministered unto God. It's unlimited what a person can accomplish if they will minister to God. Tell him how much you love him. Heard a guy say one time, when my wife and I got married, I told her I loved her and said that ought to have been enough for a lifetime. That, my goodness, where is that coming from? They like to hear that I love you every day. A guy told me, he said, ever so often when I go home and eat lunch, said I catch my wife, get her attention off of what's going on, get her to go get me something, I slip quite a bit of money under the plate, and I just get up and walk out. Said, you ought to see her face when she picks up that plate. God wants you to minister to him. Just telling him one time, well, I love you, that ought to have been good enough for 40 years. God wants to hear from you. Hear from you. I know I've told this before, but James Clayton wants to hear it again, right? I know he did. When I was in the Navy, one thing you did not want to ever hear, the captain of the ship wants to see you. You didn't want to hear that, because usually it's bad news. I went in there and sat down. He said, I got a letter from your mama. I don't remember whether he said mama or not, but anyhow. She says you have not been writing regular. Huh? This is a true story. Said, I want you to start writing your mother on a regular basis. Yes, sir. My mama heard from then on a regular basis, because I didn't want to go see him again. I want you to know God wants to hear from you more than just once a year, once a month, or Christmas, or Valentine's Day. He wants to hear your voice tell him how much you love him and how much you appreciate him. Unity in prayer. Make it a habit to minister to the Lord. When you get up in the morning, what are you going to say in the morning when you get up? Somebody come on, help me out. Well, y'all done got it. You're not going to say, my God, it's Blue Monday. Good morning, Holy Ghost. What kind of time we going to have together? That works, doesn't it, Carl? He's been practicing that. Look at him holding up his fist. He knows that works. God bless you for being here. What kind of day you going to have? What kind of week are you going to have? You have not, because you don't speak. The Spirit of God can be hovering, but nothing happened until the word was spoken. A seed has to be sown. God wanted the church to use his son, a seed, to sow, produce a church. God bless you for being here today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your glory and grace. We thank you, he's mindful of us and what you're going to do in the next few moments in our lives and the rest of our lives. We thank you, there'll be a continuous revival until you come or do we leave this world. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise as this is done. Amen. God bless you.